Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Dr. Chris Jones. Chris has been an educator in Massachusetts for 22 years. He's finishing up his 14th year as a building administrator. He is a teacher-centered principal and passionate about continuous improvement and the idea that success is not a destination, but a process. Chris is active on Twitter, blogs about continuous improvement on a weekly basis, and hosts his own podcast called Seeing to Lead, which I'll link in the show notes. As a way to amplify teachers' voices in an effort to improve education as a whole, prompting his Just Cause, improving the educational experience for as many people as possible by being purposeful, acting with integrity, and building character. He is currently the principal of Whitman Hanson Regional High School in Whitman, Massachusetts. Welcome to the podcast, Chris.
Hi, Dana. How are you doing today?
Great. Well, let's start off with your trench story. So tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Yeah, geez. Just one, huh? We don't even have a couple hours to talk about the 50,000.
Yeah.
I guess with a trench story, I'll tell you what, I'll go with an older one. I was working under a certain superintendent that was kind of difficult and didn't see education mm-hmm. going in the same way as I did or have the same philosophy towards education, let's say that. And so we would butt heads a little bit, and hey, look, that happens in relationships, and especially work relationships. But what I found it to be is my ideas, I felt, were not being respected. And so it wasn't just an idea of, I disagree with what you're doing, try and convince me. It became more of, let me stand in the way and actively try to undermine you with whatever you do. And so that was difficult to go through. For a number of reasons. I mean, it was, it was in my professional field. It was undermining things that I was trying to do. Now, hey, look, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later. I'm a ruckus maker. My current superintendent loves to say that I get in good trouble, and he uses air quotes whenever he says that. But I like to do things different. I like to look forward, and that has a lot to do with my history throughout my educational experience. Yeah. So this other individual had lied a couple of times, and I because of how I feel about integrity, that's very difficult for me to get around. So, what had ended up happening is I started to grow even more as an educator in the face of this difficulty, and, really enacted what I truly believe. We all face circumstances. We all get in different situations, and what we need to do in those situations is we need to take action, and we need to take action in our own best interest in an effort to serve others in their best interest. And so I resigned, I left. It was kind of a bittersweet thing. It's not bittersweet anymore at the time, because I felt as if I was leaving certain individuals that I didn't want to leave. I had built relationships. I was serving other individuals, and they expressed to me that they felt very bad that I was leaving. But I'll tell you what, the decision I made had to be made at the time, and I've never looked back. Sometimes we get buyer's remorse over certain things, and I've just continued to grow exponentially from that time. And so it was clearly the move that I had to do. It was a little shaky at the time, but exciting. And it's turned out to be one of the best things I've ever done.
Yeah. And I think looking back, there's those hard situations you go through, and then you realize that there was a reason, that you went through that situation. You made that decision. Looking back, and it's difficult, but where you are now, where you want to be, right?
Right.
So let's talk about a few of the things I mentioned in the bio. So you write the blog called Character Today, Success Forever. So tell me a little bit about what one would expect to read about in the blog.
Sure. And, you know, this does come with a little caveat. I'm just starting to get back into blogging because mm-hmm. I took a kind of a long break with the writing of the book and different things like that. Sure. But I'm putting that on my new website because okay. That could be another trench story. The idea of me trying to figure out how to do a website and all that. But yeah, that's been a lot of fun. But anyways, what I blog about is I blog about things that have to do with how to improve ourselves day by day. Just stories that I pull from daily experiences because, and you said this, I truly believe that success is a process, not a destination. Yeah. I don't think you show up one day and wow, you're successful. And you can look at anybody who is successful and say, oh man, I can do that. A story that I heard from somebody that I went to high school with, and I saw him probably three or four years after we'd graduated high school, I ran across him in the gym. Mm-hmm. And he was wearing all these big baggy clothes and sweatshirts and things like that. And he was lifting and he was doing a pretty good workout. Well, come to find out he was a bodybuilder. And he said the reason he didn't wear these skimpy tank tops and stuff like that when he was working out is because he was sick of people looking at him saying, oh, well, I could do that. With no idea of the steps that it took to get there. And he was successful at what he did because he took those little steps. So I firmly believe that we get successful by putting one foot in front of the other. Yeah, and it's those small decisions that we make every day, those habits that we form that end up one day you look and you're like, wow, I've achieved this. Mm-hmm. And it kind of shows up, but it doesn't just show up without the steps that it took to get there. So I think one of my biggest things is continual improvement. I think that no matter where we are, what point we are in our career, our skill set, our job, our profession, whatever we're doing, we can always get a little better. And it's not because we're not good. And it's not because we're not good enough by many people's standards, but it's the idea of think of how much better we could be just taking that one extra step. Just moving that one little, moving the needle just a little farther, how much more we can serve people if that's what we're doing, but how much better we can be. And that's truly success. The idea that you can continually improve on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And that leads into the next topic I was going to ask you about. So, you know, I've heard you on other podcasts, but listening to Danny Bauer's Better Leaders, Better Schools, almost since it was started in 2016, and you've been working with Danny since 2017. So, you know, you talked a little bit in your trench story about being a ruckus maker. The people who are in Better Leaders, Better Schools, Masterminds, we're all ruckus makers. And I did not have my bottle with me, but it was in the other room where I'd show it. The BLB breakfast maker bottle, right? Anyway, tell me a little bit about like what you've learned and you've grown, right? This is all about becoming better, a better leader, right? You're in the Guiding Principles Mastermind group. So how's this experience been and what have you learned?
You know, what I've learned is that I've got so much more to learn, but not being cheeky or anything like that. You know, the idea that you've got to surround yourself with people that are going to challenge you and are going to question what you do, but are also going to support you and give you advice and help you out. I've learned look, I used to be a checklist type administrator and it was incredibly frustrating. And I would call myself an administrator back then instead of a leader. It was incredibly frustrating because no matter what, and this is especially true in education, no matter how much you put in, it's going to ask for more. It's like a big hole you're pouring into. There's always more to give. Yeah. And so unless you're very purposeful about what you're doing to move the needle forward and to change education for the better, you're going to get lost. You're going to get overwhelmed because you think about you're sitting there when somebody comes up with a good idea and those people that are naysayers, those people that are like, that'll never work because of check. I don't have time. Because they're checklist people and they get their checklists and they go through them. And what Danny and the mastermind did for me, this could be a spot for the mastermind. What they've done for me is that they've pulled me away from the idea of being a checklist administrator. I'm interested in leading an authentic, impactful way. And that's not by checking things off on a to-do list. Those things will be there. So whatever you're talking about, whether you're talking about delegation, whether you're talking about service, whether you're talking about engaging those around you or vision or getting things done, that's what leadership's about. And that's what the mastermind has helped me with, because I can, you know, if I'm on the hot seat and I come forward with an issue, they give me different perspectives to look at it. And perspective is so important when we're dealing with other people, because two people can have the same belief and they could be talking about it and feel like they're disagreeing because they're just coming at it from a different perspective. So that's something else that the mastermind's taught me, that we really can't be making decisions about education or how to move things forward without talking to other people and getting other perspectives. So I think that's incredibly important. It's also challenging. I mean, I'm an accountability guy. If you tell me to do something and we're going to meet and talk about it, well, you can bet I'm going to have it done, because there's no way I want to show up and say, oh, I didn't do that. So it makes me read. It makes me practice different things. It makes me try different things. And it also makes me reflect on the things that we do accomplish or the things that we fall short on, because, you know, with the whole one big thing, it makes me step back and look, I've got to get this done. If I get nothing else done on my checklist, but I get this one thing done, then the rest doesn't matter. And now your listeners might be saying, well, things still have to get done. Of course they do. Of course things need to get done. But every day I have three big things that I need to get done. And if I get those three big things done, if I focus on those, then, you know, hashtag winning or whatever you want to call it, you know, the other stuff seems to get itself done or work itself out. I equate it to that email, right, where other people are CC'd on the email and somebody sends that email, and how many of us are anxious to jump on that email and answer it and jump in? So now we've wasted the time to think about how we want to answer that email, solve that person's issue, and write the email. We've lost that from whatever we could be doing. Now, say that takes 5 minutes, right? 5 minutes could be spent inside of a classroom giving instant feedback to a teacher on something that they're doing or interacting with a student, when if we wait on that email, because the classroom piece is more important to us, if we wait on that email, somebody else answers it. How many times does that happen? We come back and somebody's already answered the problem. You didn't even have to get involved. Just the idea that your name was on the email and now you know. So there, I mean, I could go on forever. The things that have changed for me as a leader, based on the idea of continuous improvement, being a member of the mastermind and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much we've learned from him. And, you know, I went to his retreat back in November, and just like a lot of the things he shares just about the ideal work week, like you said, the one big thing, right? Things that you need to get done, things that will help your and just having those habits in mind, and like you said, your accountability, but you know, focusing on the right things, the ones that are going to make you better, changing your leadership style, you know, is not only good for you, but you know, it helps your staff, right?
And it makes you clearer when you're clearer about something, because you're focused on one thing and you communicate effectively to your staff, then right, everybody knows what you're about, and it makes you a better leader because people know what you're about. They know what you're focused on, and there's comfort in that. How many times do we talk about students that like routine? Well, you know what? Adults like routine too, because it's predictable. So if somebody's not having to guess, oh, what's Chris going to be about today? Or, you know, what are we really focused on? If they don't have to guess that and you take the guesswork out, you communicate it, they become engaged with that. And they actually, surprise, shocker, they want to get on board with it, especially if it's connected to them in any way.
Well, I talked a little bit also in the bio about your supporting teachers in terms of your leadership philosophy. So talk about kind of what you believe a leader should do to really support their teachers, and talk a little bit about the size of your school and how many staff members that you have, so people can get a better idea of your job as a principal of that school.
Sure. 1,200 students, about 76 staff, well, 76 faculty members, full staff, I'm at about 127. So the first thing, if you want to authentically support your teachers, The first thing is a mindset shift. You have to really embrace the idea that nobody ever comes to work and says, you know what? I want to suck today. Nobody says that. They're doing the best they can. If they could do better, they would. And it's interesting because we talk about that with students, right? We say, hey, look, students, you really have to do this for them because if they could do better, they would. Why aren't we using that philosophy for staff? So the first thing you need to do is a mindset shift to that. And that's easy to say, but it's difficult to do because there are many times where, you know, we jump to conclusions. It's a fast paced environment and we get stuck in our own mind. Like, well, we wouldn't do that. Or why would anybody do that? And then we jump on that. As far as practical ways to support teachers is you need to, the second piece, let me start here and try and break it down. The idea that we need to accept the teachers that we have in front of us and then support from there instead of trying to support teachers from where we want them to be. And it sounds basic, but that's you're putting the cart before the horse. If you say, you know, hey, I've got Chris, who's a teacher in my building, and so I'm going to support him this way. Well, maybe Chris isn't even ready to start there. So you need to create various entry points along the way where you can begin supporting teachers. And guess what? That's going to be different depending on, you know, your staff that you've got because they're all individuals. So keeping those two mindsets at the forefront, the first thing you have to do is pull the teacher in to be part of that support. You know, you have to recognize where the teacher is at. And sometimes that's a difficult conversation. And then you have to look at where you want the teacher to be. And so your listeners might be saying, well, yeah, duh, Jones, that's just setting goals. In a way it is. But then what you have to do is you have to get the teacher involved with building or planning or creating that bridge to get across that gap or the map to get to where they want to be. And so as they do that, they're now invested in the process a little bit, but that's not going to be an easy road. So as soon as they run into a difficulty or fall down, you need to work with them to point out where they fell down, where they fell short, and how to patch that up so they can continue to move forward towards their goal. And one of the things that really works with this is when you're, I guess I'll use the word critiquing, when you're critiquing what they're doing or looking at how far they've come or haven't come, you need to obviously not ignore that, highlight it, but you depersonalize where they've fallen short. And what I mean by that is that if I'm telling Chris that he fell short on something, I don't say, well, Chris, you know, really the classroom management piece was bad because you did this, you did that, you did that. Instead, I say, you know what really works for good classroom management, Chris? I've seen this done, XYZ works. I've heard other people try XYZ. And you point out better practices. I'm not a believer in best practices. That's a story for a whole nother show. But so you point that out and you depersonalize that so they don't suddenly get defensive about, what's wrong with what I do? And then you select the places where they've made progress and you personalize those. Those are the I statements. Those are the things about the person directly. So Chris, I noticed you did this and that was really good. That really worked. And so you did a really good job with that. That's all about the person. So they absorb the positive and kind of push through the negative without being defensive.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
No, I like how you word that because like anybody who's going into leadership, starting to evaluate teachers and give those feedback conversations, I think that, you know, they have that hard time, like not personalizing it, right? But, you know, coming up with the I statements, making it so the teachers don't get defensive because you do want to build that bridge with them and be, you know, working together for the common goal. So, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you're setting goals right, and, you know, that's the whole idea with empowerment too. If you're setting those goals right, then you're going to fall short. Right. I mean, unless you're playing the game, I'm going to select this goal because I know I can hit it. Yeah. You want you want a big goal. I mean, you want to aim big, but you don't want to do something that you can't possibly do. But mm-hmm. you want to put something that just might be outside of your reach. It's going to take work to get to it. And mm-hmm. that's part of the honest conversation. If you're really going to get to where you need to be, not necessarily want to be, but need to be, to continue to do right by the people that you're in front of or that you serve, there's going to be work involved in that, and you're going to fall short, which is why it's so important to support that person once they do, so they get up, brush themselves off, and keep pushing towards that goal. And they don't just quit there, because then that negativity, that whole idea of, oh, I can't make it anyways, so why even try? And they shut down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I was wondering is, do you talk about a lot of this working with the teachers in your upcoming book? So your book, Seeing to Lead, was released on June 3rd by Codebreaker. So tell me kind of what people can expect to find in that book.
Sure. It's a framework about everything we're talking about. Look, you know, and it's interesting because I call myself a teacher-centered principal, which throws people off until I explain why I say I'm a teacher-centered principal. It doesn't mean that everything is about the teachers. It means that, you know, we're looking to impact in a positive way as many students as possible. Me as a leader, the best way I can do that is by impacting my teachers so that they in turn impact their students. I've gotten some good feedback about the book that teachers are picking this up and reading it, and it's completely applicable to the students in their classroom. And wouldn't that be awesome? Building leaders right out of the classroom. I mean, think of what we'd be looking at walking out of the halls of schools with students who are already taking on the mantle of leadership and empowered to be leaders. That would be something really special and really impactful for our world. But what you can expect to find in the book is a framework, how you support, engage, and empower those you lead so that they in turn become leaders. It's got a decent amount of personal stories about myself and my own interactions and interface, as you will, with education growing up. It's got different stories that I've of encounters I've had that have either shown this in action or not shown it in action, and my reflections on that. It also has in it practical tips and strategies that I use from a leadership standpoint with my faculty. So it's not meant to be this heavy, you know, you're not reading an abstract and then a research paper or a meta-analysis. It's accessible. And it's got, like I said, the tools, the tips, the tricks, the strategies that you can employ almost immediately as you do it. So that you, one of the big things is the circle that people see behind me on this video that is support, engage, and empower. And that's, I talk about that flywheel in the book. And the whole idea is to get it spinning as tight and as fast as possible. And what I mean by that is you support your staff, your teachers. And then once a teacher is supported, well, they get more engaged in improving and doing better. And they get more engaged in just the overall culture of the school because they feel supported. Everybody wants to feel supported. You can go everywhere and see, you know, Maslow before Bloom. People want to feel safe, supported, have their needs met. And then once they're engaged, well, you can empower them. And then once you empower somebody, much like I was talking about setting goals, if you're empowering somebody, they're going to fall down. They're going to fall short. And so what you need to do is you need to make sure that you step right in right away to give them support when they fall down a little bit by pointing out everywhere they've succeeded, accepting the product that they've produced from being empowered, not looking at it and saying, oh, well, I would have done it differently. But by accepting that and saying, okay, here's where we support, shoring them up, supporting them. And then, because if you do that, then quickly they become engaged right away again. And then once they do that, they become willing to be empowered again or asking to be empowered again, even quicker. If the leader doesn't step in and do and support right after the empowerment piece, then that teacher or teachers are finding out that student, they're going to be very hesitant to ever step up again. And it becomes incredibly difficult to re-engage them to get them empowered again. So it's that wheel that you have to just keep spinning on as quick as you can.
Yeah. definitely recommend people checking that book out that's now available on Amazon. And you have some deals you wanted to share for the summer.
Yes, I have. So I do offer bulk orders as well. If you go on to my, if you go onto the book website, seeingtolead.com, S-E-E-I-N-G-T-O, lead, L-E-A-D.com, you'll see that you can pick up copies from me. You can get signed copies and things like that. Now, you can also get bulk orders. I don't have the bonuses right now for bulk orders, but they are going to include things such as me doing like book clubs with staff, if you pick them up for staff, me doing different presentations, like half-hour long presentations, hour-long presentations, all based on how many copies you pick up. So like if you pick up a bunch of copies for your staff and you want to do a staff book study type of thing, well, I will log on to them with Zoom and do I'll lead a book study for the different portions of it. There's three portions. So maybe you want to break it into, you know, this session we're going to be doing support, this session we're going to be doing engage, this one with power. But I haven't put those up. I encourage people as a summer read, obviously, I encourage leaders to pick them up for your staff or anything like that. And even though they're not up, if you do a bulk order and you reach out to me, I'll work something out. Something I learned from Danny Bauer is that you always over deliver. So if you do a bulk order, you reach out to me, we'll talk, I'll over deliver on something. I promise you. And seeing that one of my things in my why is integrity, you can take it to the bank. If I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Great to hear. I'll put that information in the show notes. And, you know, yeah, it's like you said, people can start planning their PD for next year and, you know, picking up one of these books definitely to discuss with their staff. Well, out of everything we discussed today about being a ruckus maker, how you view leadership, and also just how you approach teachers at your school and writing of your blog, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
I'd like listeners to remember that if they truly approach people where they're at with the idea that if they could do better, they would. You can help people realize that they can always improve their situation. They can be better than their current situation, whether it's by a step, whether it's by a foot, whether it's by 20 miles. If you take people where they are, see them for who they are, and work with them at that point authentically, and you know, you're doing it sincerely to help them, you can bring people along like they've never been brought along before. And it's so worth it. It's worth the difficult conversations. It's worth the good times, the bad times, because really there's nothing like seeing somebody else's joy and somebody else's satisfaction with themselves and belief in themselves once you empower them beyond the position that they're currently in.
Yeah, I really like that, and the empowering piece as well, right? Because you want to help them see themselves like 3 to 5 years too.
Right. You know, it's funny because I say this often as a leader, and sometimes this is a little unsettling, sometimes even reflecting on it myself, it is. But as a leader, it is my duty to work myself out of a job. If I'm doing what I should be doing, I can walk away and stuff's going to continue to improve because I've put people in place. I've empowered people to take over. I've empowered people to be leaders. If everybody's a leader and they're working together in an environment that promotes that, you can do crazy things. Like you can, I mean, really, you can improve schools beyond recognition, because it's not about the leader having the right answer. It's about getting the right answer or getting the best answer. And so any way you can do that, if you build a culture where your end goal is that vision of being the best you can possibly be, everybody wins. I don't see how you go wrong with that.
Yeah, no, that's great. Way to end. Where can people reach out and find you online?
I am on Twitter quite a bit. It's funny. I struggle with Instagram. I use it a little bit, but I don't do that great. But I'm at Dr. C.S. Jones. just about across all platforms. So Twitter is the biggest one. Always feel free to reach out to me. That's at Dr. D-R-C-S Jones. Okay. And I'll get back in touch with you.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast. It was a pleasure having
you. Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and talk to your listeners.
Are you excited that in-person conferences are back? I know I am. In fact, I'm excited to announce that I will be at the 2022 Teach Better Conference this October 14th and 15th in Akron, Ohio. I'll be recording episodes live, attending sessions, and connecting with a whole bunch of amazing educators. It would be awesome if you could join us. Head over to www.teachbetterconference.com/register and use the code OUTOFTHETRENCHES to save $50 off your 2-day registration. I hope to see you next month. Your affiliate code again is OUTOFTHETRENCHES, lowercase, no spaces.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it, and if this episode resonates especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at OutOfTrenchesPC.